Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Crossroads. How we doing? Good, 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 good. Hi, Rob. Colleen. Colleen's trying to hide behind Robin. Welcome, welcome. You guys, we have a little bit different of a morning planned, so I wanted to kind of walk us through here. In a minute, Ben is going to come up and lead us through our combo spiritual practice communion, and then we're going to dismiss the kids. And we're going to watch the video. It's the last of the videos in the Sabbath practice series. And then we have asked a few members of our Crossroads community who have been practicing Sabbath over the course of the last year, 18 months or so or longer, to come up here and share some of what they've experienced, both good and bad, and the things that they're actually doing. Sound like a plan? Yep. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Jesus, we ask that you would make us so aware of your presence, that we would hear you, that we would see you, that we would feel you move in us and through us. Father, we give you this time. We ask that you would receive our thoughts and our prayers and our actions as an offering to you, and that you would find that pleasing. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. Amen. And if at any point during the service you guys feel like you want some prayer, go see Kev in the back of the room, and he would be happy to pray with you and pray for you.
Morning, everybody. So if you've been with us the past couple weeks, you know that we've been looking into this idea of Sabbath, right? And what that means for us as followers of Jesus. And although the goal is to be able to do this for maybe a whole day or a longer extended period of time, as we kind of wrap up our Sabbath series this morning with week four, I wanted to give us a chance to practice a little mini Sabbath together. And so I'm going to lead us through all of the different phases that we've talked about and learned about over the past 4 weeks. So that includes stopping, resting, delighting, and today we're going to wrap it all up with worship. And so we're going to go to our first slide, and as we kind of come in from our busy weeks, busy mornings, getting everybody ready for church and getting dressed up, and we're just sitting down together as a body, as a family in Christ, we're going to take a moment to stop. And the little boy is very, very cute. but we're going to take a moment to stop. I'm going to invite us to just feel free to close your eyes, to hit pause on all the things that might be on your mind right now. Press pause on the distractions, the anxieties, the worries, and all of those busy racing thoughts. And instead, invite you to focus your minds on Christ. As a way to help, personally, I like to visualize the cross in my mind. But if that doesn't work for you, you can also feel free to keep your eyes open, and you can fix your eyes on the cross behind me. And as a community, I'm just going to give us a few seconds to do this. So let's join together in stopping. And also feel free to just take a deep breath. So we move on to rest. One way to do this is actually through one of our spiritual practices, which is breath prayers. And for today, we're going to be using Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And for simplicity, I'm going to read the first half of that verse where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And as I do so, we're all going to take a collective breath in. And then as I read the remainder of the verse, which is, "And I will give you rest," we're all going to just breathe out together. So we're going to do that for a total of 3 times to allow us to rest. Ready? "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Jesus. Now we take time to delight in the Lord. And one way to do this is by delighting in God's creation and nature, appreciating the beauty that He's made all around us. So for example, sometimes I like to close my eyes and imagine myself sitting in the warm sunshine, maybe on a nice, comfy, fluffy blanket on the grass. And I feel God's love in the warmth of the sun. Maybe I look out across the field and my eyes delight in seeing a vast array of flowers of all different colors. Maybe some distant snow-capped mountains across an expanse of water that just gleams with sunlight. All that He has made. I feel a gentle, warm breeze all around me and take a deep breath in, delighting in the smell of the grass, the flowers, maybe even the ocean, appreciating that God's breath breathed life into me. And lastly, probably my favorite thing to do is I imagine Jesus quietly sitting next to me. His presence like that of a best friend, someone who knows me and loves me through and through, and thoroughly enjoys the presence of my company. I delight in His presence that never leaves me nor forsakes me. So let's just take a minute to delight in God. And as we enter into week 4 today, which is worship, typically we have musical worship, but today we have a couple different things planned. But worship is more than just music. Worship is the way we honor God and praise God through our lives, the way we live our lives, the way we follow after Jesus. So as we enter into week 4, we respond to God's love and affection for us through physical actions, through our speech, and even through our thoughts. One way for us to do this is by celebrating communion, where we remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us, and that our sins have now been washed away so that we are made clean. We say thank you, Jesus, as a way to praise Him with our words. And we worship through our physical action of eating the bread and drinking the cup. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we worship Him through our obedience and the physical act of communion. And so if you're new with us this morning, just a reminder that communion or taking part in communion is not about being a member here or being a regular attender, but it's about where you personally are at in your relationship with Jesus. If you've asked Jesus to place his new heart in you, and if you're doing your best to live with him and for him, we invite you to take the bread and the cup with us. But if you're still undecided, please feel free to sit and pray and reflect. There are a couple stations, four stations set up, and so at this time I'm going to invite everybody to come and take of the bread and the cup. And if anybody needs communion brought to them, if you can just raise your hand, we can bring some over to you. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat the bread together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink of the cup together. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we've taken time, we've taken aside this time to be with each other and to be with you. So Lord, we offer up this time to you. We pray that you would speak to us, that you would bless us. Lord, that we would be able to feel your presence here in this room with us. God, we thank you for the gift of Sabbath, where we can stop and rest, delight in you, and worship you. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice on the cross, for his death, and for his resurrection that gives us new life. Jesus, we thank you. So we give this time into your hands. And we we just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'm going to dismiss kiddos to our Kids Rose volunteers, and we're going to watch our last session on Sabbath worship.
I don't like awkward silence. Clap for them. Actually, I love silence. It's not a problem for me. Yes, please. So that's Matt and Kate over there, Dan and Sherry, Ben and Brittany. I'm Tom. This is Gail. And we're just going to share some thoughts. Each family is going to share some thoughts on a different aspect of what we've just covered: stop, rest, delight, and worship. Maybe we'll correspond with each other a little bit. If you guys have thoughts or questions, throw your hand up, and we'll try and incorporate those in as well. Sound good? All right. Who had stop? You guys?
Yeah. So we're going to share a little bit about how we stop, practice stopping on our Sabbaths. And I just want to preface this by saying we don't do all of this perfectly every single Sabbath. This is what we strive for. This is what we try to encourage each other to do. But it's always great to like hear some practical examples. But we pretty much like try staying away from distractions that pull our focus from God, or do that in order to make room for more focus on God. So one thing we do, I don't know how many of these you might want to say or not, but one thing is like just staying away from screens, and that includes our son. So we stay away from our phones, but if he asks, hey, can we watch a movie or TV show, it's like, no, we're gonna do stuff together, we're gonna stop, this is our Sabbath. And he's actually learned, when we say today's Sabbath, he was like, okay, like, no TV, no movies. And it just helps us, because it's so easy to like pick up our phones, and I've just felt like even if he's playing, like all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I can't pick up my phone. All right, okay, refocusing. Today's Sabbath, we're focusing on each other, we're focusing on God, and it's just like that, like, I don't know, that's really impacted me, I think.
So other ways that we try and stop from working or things like that is, we'll try and use disposable goods. So we try and get all of our dishes cleaned the night before, and then that way on our Sabbath, we can use disposable forks, knives, plates, and then when we're done, we just throw them out, and that's it.
No dishes,
right? Just as another way to say, I'm trying not to let any worry or anxiety, if you're the type of person that anxiety builds as the dishes also build. It's just a way, right, to allow us to say, I'm just going to stop that for a day. So that kind of helps us to do that.
Yeah, and even like with food, like well, breakfast is usually pretty much the same, but like lunch or dinner, we'll try to like either order food or get out or pre-prep something. So it's like, oh, we got to pop it in the microwave, or we get to just go to a restaurant and enjoy somebody else making us food instead of us working to do that. And we also, with the movie stuff, we try to tell, our son and each other, like, okay, if we're going to listen to music, it's just going to be worship music. Our son really likes audiobooks, so we'll let a little bit of that slide. But we try to read with him and do some audiobooks. We try to focus on, let's read some of the Bible together, but try to stay away from other entertainment that's not centered around God. And then, did you want to say one of those?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us as we've kind of practiced this and gone through it is, obviously the world keeps operating around us, and sometimes there are emergencies, and, I think initially we set these boundaries for ourselves, and sometimes I think that can also add to some worry, because you're like, oh no, I just looked at my phone, like, what am I going to do? Like, I just did something wrong, and then, that can also add to some worry. So over time, it's just been, you know, our goal is to just stop from the worry, stop from the anxiety. So, you know, there are times where, yeah, we just have to look something up on our phone, like directions on which, how to get to the restaurant we're going to, right? You know, and so...
They have paper maps.
We do have paper maps.
you can print them out ahead of time.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to do
that. So I think the big thing is not making it rules that will give you worry or anxiety, but I think we've learned that setting those boundaries to just help us, but also not bashing ourselves over the head when, you know, we need to use our user technology or...
So would that be like what you guys consider your biggest obstacle to stopping was your own sense of, am I doing it right?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think I'm gonna kind of answer it a little bit differently in saying that stopping was really hard for me. It continues to be hard for me. I really like doing, like, not that we're not doing things during the day, but like I love being productive. And feeling like at the end of the day I've been productive. So the stopping has been hard, but I think in the beginning we're like, okay, oh, don't do this, you know, and it can distract from just resting in God and being. And so I think just encouraging each other is like, we're not going to worry today. We're going to stop from the worry. We're going to pause, and we're just going to, anytime we bring that up, it's like we redirect each other of like, okay, you know, let's think about what we have. Let's be grateful. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own kind of deal, and just like, focus on the now. So
cool.
Yeah.
When is your Sabbath?
Mondays.
Okay.
Yeah. Ben's working today. So so he doesn't have to work on Mondays, and so we try to set Monday aside.
And you work from home, so that works.
I work from home and have a flexible schedule. Okay. So yeah, we decided that for right now, Mondays work
great
for us.
Do you guys have any thoughts on stopping? What was hard? What was easy? Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I just, if there was a pearl of wisdom out there, I did not want it to go.
I'll talk about it a little when we talk about rest, because I think they kind of all bleed into
it. Sure. Do you want to just?
If you don't mind, yeah. So our topic is rest. Kind of like John Mark Comer did in summing up the series, I do think it's really, really hard to put hard lines between the four categories. Yeah. It's hard to rest without stopping. It's hard to delight when you haven't rested. Delight often is going to lead you directly into worshiping God. So again, I'm going to talk about rest. Some of this may seem a little more like delight. Some of this may seem a little more like stopping. It's kind of sandwiched there in the middle, and I think they bleed into each other well. But similar to Ben and Brittany, we chose rest because it's the one we're the worst at. And so we have a lot of thoughts about it. My husband Matt and I, as well as our son Timothy, are all about as stereotypical type A as you can get.
Wait, Timothy's type A also?
I'm
being serious. Like
he woke me up with a file folder the other day because he had some decorating ideas and he laid the file folder on my bed. If you don't know, he's six. November 1st. It's his fall decoration file. He's been saving up all year.
Nice. Okay.
So anyway, you may have heard many variations on the quote, if you don't take a break, your body will take one for you. And again, as a type A person, this is how I first came to the Sabbath practice. It was a hostage situation. My body was making me take a break. I had many mysterious illnesses totally incapacitating me over three-day weekends and then totally better Monday morning. I entirely blacked out weeks off. I did not rest. So I had to do something. I didn't want to continue every little bit of time I have off. I have no ability to enjoy anything, no ability to do anything with the people I love. So over the last 10 years, a lot has changed in our lives. Like I mentioned, we have a six-year-old now. So Sabbath has looked different in every stage of life for us. When I first started in my hostage situation, all that I really could muster was not doing any homework or even thinking about homework before church Sunday morning. So I would wake up Sunday and have through Sunday lunch of no homework, no work, no thinking about studying. Other times we had a baby, and that's pretty much constant work. and knowing what you can put aside and what is needed to keep someone alive is a whole other issue for us. And at this point, we now have a child that, kind of like Ben and Brittany were saying, we start to model these practices of stop, rest, delight, and worship. And we don't do it perfectly, and we work together as a family, but it's a lot of fun to do that with him. The one thing that is consistent through every stage of that, though, is that the rest part does not come naturally. I think Matt's going to talk about it a little more on like the practical side. I'm more the what we think through side. But our sleep habits are very different. For me, sleeping in is extremely restful, but I'm very bad at taking naps. Matt is very good at taking naps. But I think before whatever your sleep habit, whatever your delight, whatever is next for you, I think quieting your mind and bringing your mind to a place where you can rest is important. One tool I've developed over the years is I have a library of restful thoughts. It's a lot like our golden moment spiritual practice we've done. So if I'm not too over time, I'd like to share three items from my library just to kind of get you started on it. One of them is from a sermon Tom gave years ago. One is just sort of a universal experience, and one is a personal moment. So my first item in my library of restful thought comes from Psalm 91, which if you've been here a while, you remember we did like memorize it as a church, and we did a pretty long series on it. But verse 4 says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." When Tom did that sermon series, he had like a fun video of like a bunch of little baby ducklings going under their mother's wings. And if you weren't here for that series, look up ducklings going under their mother's wings, or chickens are also good. Maybe that feeds a little into the delight thing too, but it's just a really restful image for me to think of us, no matter what storm's going on, no matter what needs we have, we can be like the little ducklings hiding under the mother bird's wings. My second image is thinking of my best day at the beach ever. It's probably a composite of several actual days, but to rest my mind, I like to go through each of my senses and think about what I experienced at the best day at the beach ever. The sight of the sun bouncing off the waves and the cool shells that we found, the smell of salt water, the feeling of the sand on my feet, and the contrast between the hot and the cold water, the taste of salt splashing on your face when you swim, and the sound of waves and seagulls. I know some of you close your eyes and picture that, but I think just mentally going through that kind of brings my mind and body into rest together. And then my third one is my personal one. It also comes from the Psalms. Psalm 131 verse 2 says, "I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." This was an image that was confusing to me before I had my own child. I pictured myself more like what I now know as an unweaned child. I needed God. I needed something from God. But the nice thing with a weaned child is it just delights in being with its mother. It's not trying to get anything from its mother. Anyone that has an unweaned child knows they can be a bit of a wild beast. But a weaned child is just there getting comfort and rest. When my son, up till my son Timothy was 5, we had what he would call the wub, which was the rub. And when he would have trouble sleeping, he would say, "Can you come wub me?" And I would just come rub his chest, and he would fall asleep under 5 minutes every time. It even worked when he was fighting sleep. Sometimes he would say, don't wub, and it would still just melt under my hand. And for years, I was annoyed that Matt just couldn't get the technique of this rub. But then I realized it wasn't about Matt's technique. It was about the relationship I had with Timothy. And that's how our relationship is supposed to be with God, that we can just melt in comfort under him. And so I sometimes try to think of my body melting the way I felt Timothy melt under my hand. And that's a restful image for me.
Those are awesome images, Kate. Thank you.
Yeah. I think I'll just add, as I've been reflecting on it, like it's both an obstacle and an encouragement. You shared a little bit about it, but like just recognizing that the way some people find rest and the way other people around us find rest doesn't have to be the way that we find rest. I've heard it expressed, I'm forgetting where the quote exactly is, but if you know God more, you'll know yourself more. If you know yourself more, you'll know God more, like that conversation of knowing yourself and knowing scripture and vice versa. It brings you in further self-understanding and closer relationship with God. So, for example, obviously Kate loves sleeping in and doesn't nap very well. I love just getting up when it's dark, opening the blinds, sitting there with a cup of coffee, and just watch God illuminate.
Wait,
the world.
While she's trying to sleep in, you're opening the blinds?
Well, no, I go to a different
okay.
room.
All right, just check it.
That's kind of my point, though, is like making space for others to find their rest the way that God designed them to find rest. So again, whatever stage of life we're in, or you know, family circumstances we're in, there's different ways we can find know God more, know ourselves more, and know how we rest. And then the second one, again, you talked on it just a little bit, but just as an artist, I'm very, you know, I praise God every day that I can what I delight in and what I enjoy and what brings me to worship Him, I also get to do and get paid to do. So that kind of makes this whole Sabbath line very difficult to navigate sometimes. And for me, what I've kind of discovered as I've gone through that is it's really ultimately where my heart is in the moment. So there's some times where I could be making music, working on something that I'm going to get paid to do the following weekend. But in that moment, I am, you know, I am at rest. My body is at rest while I'm doing that. I might be things like, you know, gardening as well. I find, you know, joy in, and my mind is at a really restful place when I'm doing so. Because it's not what I'm doing during the week when I'm teaching. So it's a conversation God and I are having, and I internally am having. And I don't do it perfectly all the time. Sometimes I put my instrument away and just go, I'm not resting right now. I can't play on the Sabbath. And sometimes it's the opposite.
Gotcha. And just when do you guys do your Sabbath?
It's flexible, but usually it's Saturday lunch to Sunday lunch. That often works well for us.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I have a job that involves being on call. He does gig work, so we are not the same every weekend, but we do try to make a point of finding.
There's intention behind doing it. Great, thank you. You guys want to jump in at the light?
Sure. So really quickly, we actually came upon Sabbath on accident because Sherry was working through one of the other spiritual practices. I think it was prayer. Yeah, and you were listening to the podcast series, and you had it set to autoplay, and the first episode of Sabbath started playing after the end of the prayer thing. And you were like, well, that's kind of cool. I'm going to hand this off to Dan, and we'll see what he thinks. And
Dan is the type A person.
Yes, I have a very hard time stopping. However, stronger than my type A urge is my unflinching commitment to not doing what I don't want to do. And so when Sherry was like introducing Sabbath, I was like, I have a biblical reason to just park it and not do a whole bunch of stuff I don't want to do. This sounds awesome. So you can kind of see how this is going to go. So we're going to chat a little bit about delight and kind of what brings us to delight. Do you want to talk first?
Yeah. Okay, so I think I just want to echo what Brittany and Ben and Kate and Matt have all said, being that I think we all chose the things that were the most challenging for us because we have the most to say on them, but also that all these topics have kind of just our continuum, they just bleed into one another, so I'm sorry if we kind of touch on all of these. But yeah, I think delight is actually really challenging. When I first thought about, oh, I get to delight this week, I get to do something, I'm gonna bake, I'm gonna read a good book, I'm gonna garden and not weed, it's gonna be amazing. But then it was really challenging, both because of the stopping portion of it, but also because of trying to find a fine line between pleasure and delight, right? So this definitely touches on the worship aspect of it, because I think I've realized throughout the week, I just have a nervous tick of just bringing out my phone, and then it's just automatic. And so what will happen is I'll try to if I'm just slightly bored or slightly uncomfortable, I will bring out my phone, look at my phone, look at pictures, look at whatever. And it's just like something that my brain has started to do wiring-wise to help me feel better during the day. So that's something that I realized that I struggle with. And to say oh, okay, I'm not gonna do this, but I'm gonna do something else that I know should definitely bring me joy. Something that will bring me closer to God. Right. So that touches on the stopping portion of it, but also saying, okay, I'm gonna go outside. We're gonna have friends over. We're gonna make a nice meal, or like just eat a nice meal. So I think some of the things, I think Dan can talk a little bit about some of the things that we try to do on Sabbath.
Yeah, sure. So just for some context, we have pretty, for the most part, reliable work schedules. You know, I have a Monday to Friday, 8 to 4:30. Sherry's kind of the same deal. Every once in a while, an emergency pops up in lab, but those are pretty rare. So we're Saturday night to Sunday night-ish. So like it's roughly Saturday dinner to Sunday dinner. The things we try to do is like usually before church, when the weather's nice, like we'll spend time at the park or we'll go for a run before church and then come to church. Try to spend a lot of time outside. We're a little less anti-screen, I think, than most of our friends would probably end up being, just because like I'm a big sports fan and I watch absolutely no sports throughout the week because we just flat out don't have time. So like there's usually like maybe a half hour or so of football that I'll consume, and it's like for me that's just like, oh, okay, I get to do this. Another thing for us is that we've gotten really into Formula One racing. And like a highlight of our week sometimes is our F1 nap, where we'll just like put the race on and just the humming of the cars and like the British voices are so soothing that we're just out by lap two. And we wake up like an hour later, like that was awesome. So we'll do stuff like that. I think another challenge we had with Delight was particularly around the meal that we'd have is like, you know, we would start with the expectation of, we started with the goal, like this is gonna be our most awesome meal of the week. And there's only two of us, and we have a lovable but ungovernable toddler. So one of us would be off trying to make some complicated meal, while the other one's just like running around trying to corral a child. And like after about 2 weeks, we're like, we're not doing this anymore. This is just not working. So we'll do stuff like that. And then I think for me, yeah, so it's almost always takeout or like something frozen or something that we've made ahead of time. But I think for me, one of the pivotal points of Delight is like, you know, just creating space for organic time and creating space for community. And like, yeah, if someone reaches out to us and says, hey, do you want to come over after church? Great, love to. You know, if someone, or you know, if we want to have friends over, like, yep, come on over. And I think for me, like, one of the like defining images in my brain of like what our Sabbath is actually happened really recently. So we were, like a regular Sunday evening. So we're like, okay, we're gonna get some takeout. So we went to the park with two cars. We lived by Twin Brooks Park. We went with two cars and we hung out there and, you know, it was time to go get the food. So Sherry left and I was hanging out with Keelan and we were just like at the stream, like tossing rocks in. And the kids like are walking by and we're like, hi, Tom Gill. So they come over and like, we're just hanging out, chatting, like nothing to do, nowhere to be. Like we're about to get some takeout. Keelan starts telling Tom Gill to be quiet because they're gonna scare away the fish as he's pretending to fish with a stick. Was it a fishing pole? No. Were there fish in the stream? That doesn't matter either. But it was just for me like one of the like defining images in my brain of like what Sabbath is. Like we would not have had that moment if we did not create the space for like this is just our day to be people.
Yeah.
And I think one of the revelations that I've had with Sabbath is that I take on so many different identities. Like I'm, you know, trying to get this done, trying to be this person, you know, trying to be a husband, trying to be a dad, whatever. And Sabbath has become a day for me to just, I'm just Dan, child of God. Because my default is what I call air traffic controller mode, where like I'm constantly looking at a dashboard of every single aspect of my life and how is that going? How am I doing as a dad? How am I doing as a husband? How am I doing as an employee? How am I doing as an athlete? And it's just nonstop. And so for me, Sabbath is a really nice to just like literally like I don't know how to say this other than I don't see the dashboard on Sundays.
That's awesome. That image and the stop of that, yeah. Like even just stopping that has got to create some automatic delight.
Yeah. So do you have anything you want to add about our Sabbath, share?
Yeah. Oh, I think this is a little bit more of a conceptual thing. But something that I struggle with for delight on Sabbath is, right, so we're stopping, we're resting, and then we get this opportunity to just delight in God and let God delight in us, right? And the idea that God delights in us is sometimes so challenging because sometimes you can think of God being stern, serious, thinking about the concerns of the world. But there's this scene from Lord of the Rings where Pippin is looking at Gandalf, and they're on their way to Gondor. And Pippin sees in Gandalf this look of like sternness and seriousness about the gravity of the situation, right? There's, you know, the world is up in flames. But he sees in Gandalf this look, and he's like, oh, that's like a fountain of mirth that, if it were to gush forward, would set a whole kingdom laughing. And that idea of thinking about Jesus having like a fountain of joy that could set this whole world laughing, it's just like, wow, he delights in each and every one of us in that way. Wow. So I just wanted to share that.
What a great tidbit. Image. Thank you, Sherry. All right, you got 30 seconds to talk about worship.
Right.
Go.
I feel like I can't really add anything more than what everyone has said, but I will just say, for those of you who are like, Tom and I don't Sabbath on the same day because we don't have the same schedule, so that was hard
part
for
of,
me.
Part of it.
Part of it. I'm supposed to be talking about worship, so I'm just going to focus on that. But I think even when I started this idea of Sabbath, and I really just do a half, like, Saturday morning, I would go to the Valley Trail, and I would walk, and then I would really concentrate on not hurrying and go to the gym and take a long time at the gym and do just...
Sauna.
Yeah, maybe crochet, whatever sauna, for sure. All of those things. But I really wasn't, I wanted to find, to change it up and find some time to really pray and read through my Bible and look through my calendar. So I was going to do that on the trail, but this is like how hard it is to stop. It's just hardwired into us. I was like, but then I won't get as many miles in if I stop. And like, that's the point of me going there, right, is to encounter God. But I wanted to, then I'm going to like walk faster if I'm going to stop so that I keep all my miles. It's just ridiculous. So anyway, now I don't wear my Apple Watch. I just go in and I walk to my part of the stream. I read. I look over my calendar from the last week, and I look for all the ways that God might have, you know, shown up, or prayer requests, or I kind of look through that week, and I think talk with Jesus about the week to come. And I think all the other 6 days we're all hustling, right? We're all trying to fix things at work and in our lives and in family, and we're doing all the things, laundry and oil changes. And so for me, that hour, I guess, is the time where I worship God and realize that, yes, I have to do all those things, but ultimately I have to trust that God is the only one that can really fix things and do these things. And I don't know, it just reorients me back to, at the end of those 6 days, it makes me realize that I can trust him, he's faithful, and I feel like I go into the next week trusting him more and looking for the ways that he's interacting. So that's kind of how I've incorporated the worship part more, is just spending a little. And now it's so cold, so yesterday I did it at the library for an hour. I can't do it sometimes at home.
She snuck a peppermint mocha into the library.
Don't tell anybody. it's hard for me to do it when I can see all the things that need to be done in my home to actually stop.
Right, so you go get a space,
going.
Whether it's outside or
right,
quiet.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah, quiet.
All right.
So that's it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. We are a little bit over time, so I'm just going to encourage you guys to talk to these folks. These are not experts. This is not a panel of experts. These are just folks who are trying to do this and figuring it out. I love what Matt was saying. The more we get to know God, we get to know ourselves and God. So ask questions, have conversations, encourage them, challenge them. Enjoy some apple pie and whipped cream outside. Yes. I will not be dispensing whipped cream this week. You're on your own for your whipped cream. All right. Love you guys. Have a great week.